And so anyway, I'd go out to lunch at my, where I worked at, and I'd sit in my van. I had a little van back in those days. And I'd say, "Lord, please baptize me of the Holy Spirit. I want to speak with tongues, Lord." And I sat there. And I just went through that for a while. And then one day, David Hundley said, "We're going to have a teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit." At it was over at the Clark Road in Martinsville, in the basement, in June of 2080. Not 2080, 1980. That's been a while back. Excuse me if I forget. A few years. So we went over there, you know, and then Pastor David, he began to open up the scriptures. And he read the scriptures about how they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. He said, "Did you notice that they spoke with tongues? It wasn't the Holy Spirit. They were filled, and he gave the utterance, and they did the speaking." I said, "Wow, I never thought about that." And there's another part about that. It says, you know, where they filled the room where they were sitting. They were all sitting when they received it. They weren't standing up. They weren't lifting their hands. They weren't crowded around with people shouting at them to do this and that. You know, we get it mixed up. See, people get excited when they get the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and then they start rejoicing. Well, we got it backwards. We think, well, if we just start rejoicing and hooping and hollering, somebody's going to receive. It's not the way it works. The Bible says, "He who ministers the Spirit to you and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith." Ministering of the Spirit, the working of miracles, all that comes by the hearing of faith. You got to hear something. The Bible also says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." And so, when the word enters in, you get that revelation. And then you're believing the right thing because you got a revelation of it. You're not believing what somebody told you about it or what you thought about it or what you felt like it ought to be. And see, then it works. They prayed a simple prayer that night, "Lord, you know, for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit." I immediately started speaking in tongues fluently. I mean, it was like, it was just backed up in me somewhere, and it just kept coming out. And they got to me to lay hands on me, and Pastor Dave looked over there and said, "Ah, forget that. Let's go on to the next one." Because I was already in it. But see, the thing was, the reason I'm saying all this is because sometimes when we don't receive, it's either because we're believing the wrong thing or we're praying the wrong thing. And I was doing both, and I could not receive that experience of speaking with other tongues, because I was believing the wrong thing and praying the wrong thing. And I did it for about a year. Maybe I done lost my notes here, but what the heck? We went through something. Okay, so when light comes, faith is there. See, and that's the importance of meditating in the Word of God, because when you get light, you have faith. That's what preaching the gospel does to people who aren't saved. They get light. And then they get saved because they receive that. So, anyway, so let's talk about healing very quickly here. See how we're doing on time. Yeah, not too bad. Healing is one of the things that people attempt to receive from God, isn't it? Anybody ever attempted to receive healing from God? Sure. And like righteousness, it's a gift that God has given through Christ at Calvary. A gift is something that's given. It's not something we have to earn, and we certainly don't have to beg for it. "Oh, please give me that gift." Right there it is. "Oh, please give it to me." Right there it is. Take it. Anyway, 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." By his stripes you were healed. He paid the price for us to be physically healed. He bought that for us. He bore away our sins and pains. Isaiah says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and our sorrows." That's our sicknesses and pains. Now, here's something that's, oh, just hear this. Here's a thought to ponder. Did you know that in the mind of God, we are already healed? get that kind of pause for emphasis. Praise God. In the mind of God, every sinner, even the worst one you can think of, is already saved. They've got a lot of amens. Praise God. See, Jesus has already paid the price for the sins of the whole world. The sins of the whole world he's already paid for. Not just ours. Not just those who have received, but everybody. Well, has every sinner received salvation? No. There are a lot more out there who haven't than those who have, I would guess. And why not? Because each one must reach out in faith and receive the free gift. You have to take it. The gift is there. It's sitting on the table. Anybody can be saved, but they have to reach out and take it. But in the mind of God, we're already healed. When in the mind of God were we healed? Way back there then, when Christ took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That's when we were healed. See, God remembers the day that Jesus took our sicknesses and diseases just like it was today. He remembers it. He hasn't forgotten it. It's just like today to him, the day that he bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. It's completely fresh in his mind. Jesus remembers the day he took our infirmities and bore our pains. So in the mind of Jesus, we are already healed. When were we healed? Way back there then, thousands of years ago, before we were ever born. In the mind of Jesus, we're already healed. Did not say, go up to heaven to bring Christ down, or who will go down to the deep to bring him from the dead. Christ has already come. He's already been raised from the dead. He's already borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. We don't have to get God to go do that again. See, he's done it once, and he put the gift on the table. I see you thinking about this, so praise God. We just have a difficult time thinking of it like that for some reason. But it's true anyway. You know, the Holy Spirit, we just read a scripture where Peter said, by his stripes you were healed. The Holy Spirit inspired Peter to say that, by whose stripes you were healed. Looking back at Calvary. So, in the mind of the Holy Spirit, we're already healed. When were we healed? Way back there then. I'm saying this a number of different ways because I want you to think about it a little bit. See, we looked at the phrase, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, over in Romans 10. And that word confess, I told you before, means to say the same things as another. When we say, God, please heal me, or please come and heal me, we're not saying the same things about our healing that he's saying. We're not saying the same things he's saying. What's he saying? By his stripes you were healed way back there then. He's saying we were healed way back there then. And the way we would agree with that would be to say, Father, I thank you that Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my pains when he went to Calvary. Thank you, Father, that by his stripes I was healed. Am I saying now the same thing he says? Yeah. And so, Father, I agree with you that Jesus, and I agree with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit that I am already healed. And I receive that purchase, that gift purchased for me at Calvary, the purchased gift. And I thank you that I am healed because I received that gift. Praise God. Wasn't that the way we receive salvation? Isn't that the way we receive righteousness? By agreeing with what he says, believing in our heart, and receiving it with that confession, that prayer of receiving. I've never heard if there is such a thing as a prayer of receiving. I think I may have just coined that. But that's a prayer of receiving. When you believe in your heart what God says, you pray, Lord, I receive that and I thank you for it. That's the prayer of receiving. Anyway, getting back to the subject of unwavering faith. I learned something a couple of years ago that helped me a lot in this area. And I'm still learning about it. I learned it then, and I'm still learning about it. And so it was around, I think it was November of 2016 or 17. I believe it was 16. I began to have some pain and tightness in my right wrist, as well as my right knee and my ankle. And I'll be honest with you, I know what it was. It was arthritis. The symptoms were the symptoms of arthritis. There was tightness in my wrist and my fingers, and I couldn't bend my fingers all the way like that. All I could do is bend them about this far. And they were stiff and swollen. And John Peterson had a word of knowledge for somebody who had a problem with their wrist, and he prayed for me. You know, and I don't know that there was any difference. David Bates and his wife Michelle came in, and they were ministering to Jenny and I, and she said, somebody got a problem with their knee or ankle or something. I think it was ankle. And I said, yeah, pray for me. And so they were praying. I was receiving prayer. I was praying myself. You see, I learned years ago, now I don't know if everybody's been down this road or not, but I learned years ago that you could speak to sickness, you can speak to pain, and get results over it. I learned this in 1982, and I've said it many times. I had a headache, and I heard somebody say, when a Christian gets the first sign of a headache, they ought to have a Holy Ghost fit and tell it to leave. And I had a headache just bursting right at the time. I said, praise God, in the name of Jesus, you headache, I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. He bore my sicknesses, carried my pains, went through this a little bit, and I said, headache, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me. I didn't feel any different at the time, but about 5 minutes later, I noticed that all the pain was gone. And every time I had any problem, I would use that over the years. I would do that, just simply speak to it. That's speaking to the mountain, isn't it? Yes. I never saw anybody move a real mountain, but there's a lot of other things that stand in the way in your life. But anyway, I learned to do that, so I'd start spending time alone with God with this issue I was dealing with, because it wasn't getting any better. I went to the doctor and got x-rays, and he gave me the only thing they can give you, powerful pain pills that have the word oxy at the beginning. And I think I took one of them and said, this makes me feel too weird. I'll just do something else. Yeah, we're weird enough, golly. No need to add to it, praise God. And so I'd go on Saturday or something, go somewhere like maybe at Philpot Dam, sit by myself there, and I'd pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. Lord, I thank you that he took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses, and I receive healing right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord, and I'd begin to rejoice. You know, when you pray, you're gonna get blessed when you pray. You're going to feel the presence of God. You're going to feel better. And I felt better. And praise God, I'm healed. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you get away from me, you pain. You get away from me, you swelling. And then the thing was, I think I was healed and feel really great. And then I'd wake up the next morning and I'd check and the pain was still there. I'd check, the swelling was still there. I check, all that stuff was still there. And, you know, immediately what I would do is go down in my heart. I would begin to feel a sense of defeat. I thought I was healed, but I guess I wasn't. All that praying, all that confessing, all that rebuking, and nothing. I'm back at square one. And see, I didn't do that just one time. I did it a bunch of times. And I think this is where people get the idea, well, it might not be God's will to heal me, because I didn't get something. We are walking by sight and not by faith. See, that's what I found out was that I was walking by sight. And so I noticed the symptoms were back. And as a last resort, I finally asked the Lord, what am I doing wrong, Lord? I mean, that's a last resort, right? It couldn't be me. It couldn't be me doing something wrong. I mean, after all, I do believe, praise God, I believe Jesus bore my sicknesses, carried my pains. I do believe that. What am I doing wrong, Lord? Well, it turns out I was doing stuff right, but I was doing some things wrong, too. There's a well-known quote of something that Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman said in the early part of last century, without explaining who she was. She was a minister of the gospel and a medical doctor. She said, if I pray and don't get results, then I start changing. Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans. In other words, Lord, what am I doing wrong? I need to do some changing. If I'm not getting results, there's something wrong with what I'm doing. Either I'm believing the wrong thing, or I'm praying the wrong thing, or there may be another factor in there. See, but to get results, something has to change. And that change is going to be on whose part? Mine or God's? Ours. It's going to be on our part. The change has to happen before the answer can come. So I asked the Lord what I was doing wrong. And the Lord led me to certain messages on the subject of how to receive, how to believe you receive. And the most outstanding thing, without going through all that, that became a revelation to me in the process of doing this study on how to receive from God, I recognized that I was allowing my heart to be affected by what my head was telling me. Now, this is very subtle. It's very easy to fall into this trap, and I didn't realize it. I'd heard preaching about that all my life, but still I didn't recognize it until the Lord revealed it to me. You see, when I went out and prayed, I would pray and confess the scriptures and speak to the situation, and I'd believe I received healing. I'd rejoice. I'd be up there feeling good. But then the next day, I'd look, and the symptoms were still there. And I would immediately go on a downward spiral. I'm defeated. I can't do anything about this. This is hopeless. I've done all that praying and all that believing and all that rebuking, and I'm still at square one. Nothing's changed. And that's where we get extremely discouraged if we don't understand this principle. Praise God. See, I was walking purely by sight and not by faith. It's so easy to do. I was allowing the presence of symptoms to determine if I was healed or not. You know, and even now, if somebody says, well, would you pray? Would you agree with me that I'll get a good doctor's report next Tuesday when I go to the doctor? And I say, no, I won't agree with that. Well, why not? Aren't you a man of faith? Yeah, I am. But see, what I see is you're putting your faith in that doctor's report. You're not believing you received based on what Christ did at Calvary. You're putting your trust in that doctor's report. What if you don't get a good report? Does that mean you're not healed? See, we've got to be so careful what we're putting our faith in. And we've done this plenty of time. Had people call and say, could you pray for me for a good doctor's report? Well, I don't think that's the best thing to do if that's what you're hanging your faith on. Anyway, did you see what I mean? I was allowing the symptoms to determine if I was healed or not, rather than allowing the Word of God to decide. I was allowing my faith to waver because I saw symptoms. See, my head is only going to tell me the truth. It's going to see whether I have symptoms or not. It's not going to lie about it. But on the inside, I'm believing something different. See, I said earlier that you can believe something in your heart on the inside that your head cannot perceive to be true on the outside. There's a difference in the head and the heart. I'm still trying to distinguish that difference. But what I perceived on the outside had nothing to do at all with whether I was healed or not. Because I was healed by faith, not by whether I had symptoms or not. Are you starting to get what I'm saying? Yeah. Praise God. Because with the heart, man believes, not the head. So I recognized that I needed to maintain the sense of victory in my heart, even if the symptoms were still there. I made it my decision to maintain that sense of victory and not go into that downward spiral of defeat just because I saw a symptom. See, I knew they were there. I wasn't in denial. I was just not allowing them to weigh in on whether I was healed or not. See, but we will look and say, well, do you feel any better? Well, no, I don't feel any different. Well, I guess I didn't get anything. What difference does it make if you feel better or not? You're going by what you see, what you can feel, what you can touch. Now, see, faith isn't like that. So now, I want to just very quickly close this, and because for something to be scriptural, what do you need to have, Stephen?
You need to have the scripture.
Ah, good, brother. We're learning something. For something to be scriptural, you have to have scripture. And so we're just going to close with a couple of minutes of scripture here from Genesis. Because, see, there's an example of this in the scripture. It's a principle is found in the story of Abraham, our father of faith. And we all know the story, but let's look at it in light of what I just shared with you. Can you see why maybe the devil didn't want this to get out? I mean, these little revelations. They change the way you look at things drastically. In Genesis 17, verse 4, it says, as God came and spoke to Abraham, and he said, "Behold, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." And, verse 5, "Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." So we can see that this word Abraham means father of many nations. And in verse 15, God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give her a son also, give you a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." In other words, Sarah means mother of nations. God gave the definition of what that name meant. He's father of many nations, and she's mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And verse 17, "Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear?" He was not in great faith at that moment. He started off at a really low level of faith here. He said he fell on his face and laughed. I mean, could that be slightly insulting to the Lord? Somebody come up to you and say, "I'm going to really bless you. I'm going to give you $1,000 today, and I'm going to do this, this, that," and you fall on your face and laugh. That's not going to happen. So Abraham did not start out as a faith giant. So that gives us hope. Amen. Praise God. That ought to encourage us. Hallelujah. And so, Abraham was too old, and Sarah, and so was Sarah in Abraham's mind. But Abraham went ahead and obeyed anyway. He started calling himself Abraham, the father of many nations, and his wife, he began to call her Sarah, mother of nations. Now, notice that even though it sounded unbelievable to Abraham, he began to say the same things God was saying. "Okay, Lord, you say I'm father of many nations. I call myself father of many nations. You say my wife is the mother of nations. I'll call her Sarah, the mother of nations. I'm going to agree what you're saying. It's totally unbelievable, but I'm going to agree with it." And we know that the Lord visited Abraham a short while later in Genesis 18. In verse 18:9, it says, "And they said unto him," now he went down to the south country and into the kingdom of Gerar, where there was a king named Abimelech. Verse 9, it says, "And they said unto him, where is Sarah your..." Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong part. This is where the Lord came and visited Abraham a little while later to talk with Sarah, actually. And it says, "They said unto him, where is your wife Sarah? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him." Now, Sarah and Abraham were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. You see, she had already gone through the change of life. And even when she was a young woman, she was barren. She couldn't have a child. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old?" So Sarah had the same reaction as Abraham did. "This ain't going to happen. Ha, 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 that's a joke. I mean, it's, you know, having a baby, but having pleasure. I mean, gee whiz, that's even out of the question. Forget it." But, the whole time, things were changing in their lives. After they started agreeing with what God was saying, things were actually changing. When they went down to the south country, they sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, said of Sarah, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now, the point here is that this has been a month or two since they had changed their names. You got it. Yeah. They changed their name because that's what God told them to do. And they met this king Abimelech. Abimelech is king. He can have any of the women in the land he wants. But he wants Abraham's 90-year-old wife. Something is happening here. Something is going on. They're being raised from the dead, actually. He said Abraham considered not his own body now dead. He considered it dead, but there was a resurrection that took place in him. There was a resurrection that took place in her. I think I'm missing something here. What? Okay. Somebody laughing about something out there. But anyway.
It's hard to accept, though, isn't it?
It really is. Praise God. Yeah, they were being resurrected during this time. Anyway, he wanted his 90-year-old wife. Now, could it be because they were saying the same things God was saying? You think that was a factor in it that came into play? I'm sure it was at least a small part of it. They were simply saying the same things God was saying about them. I'm the father of many nations. My wife is the mother of nations. And they were changing the whole time. And even starting to believe it, probably. Yeah, I'm sure they were. In fact, the Bible says Abraham believed it. We're going to look at that in just a second. Well, you sure don't look like it, old man. Well, we're saying what God said about us. And that's what we must do. We must say the same things God says about us. Amen. If he says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed, then I say, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. See, that's our only basis of faith. The only thing we can base our faith on is what God says about us. Yes. One of the things he says is that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. You mean God's going to heal me? No, he already has, according to him. Well, I'm going to agree with God. God's going to heal me. But that's not what he said. He said he already has. He said, thy name is Abraham, for a father of many nations have I already made you, Abraham. Oh, you mean you're going to make me the father of many nations? No, I already have. Oh, I don't get that. Anyway, that does not compute, but it's the way God computes things. Anyway, in Genesis 21:1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For she conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, which was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac, or laughter, which is what God told him to call the child. Called both of them laughed at the idea of it happening. The promise came to pass. But there was more to it than just God speaking it and it coming to pass. And this is where I want to close at. Abraham believed a promise that seemed impossible. He believed it over the process of time without wavering. See, we're talking about unwavering faith. Romans 4:18. We're going to look at this account in Romans. Abraham 4:18. Against hope, believed in hope. And there's many ways you can analyze that as saying things. But one way to rephrase it is when there was no reason to hope, Abraham believed with confident expectation. And what did he believe? It says that he might become the father of many nations according to what? That which was spoken, so shall your seed be. So why did he believe that? He believed it based on what God had said. And again, that's our one and only basis for faith, what God has said. So how did he maintain that faith without wavering? Ah, here we go. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of this. See, he did the same thing I did when I found this out a couple of years ago. Remember, I said I stopped paying attention to whether I had symptoms or not. You know, over a couple of months, that went away. I haven't had a problem with it since. Haven't had any stiffness of fingers, no pain. Oh, it went away over time. It didn't immediately go away. But anyhow, with Abraham, it said in verse 19, but being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider those things. He staggered not at the promise. He wavered not at the promise through unbelief, but was strong in faith, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So how did he maintain strong faith? By considering not the contradictory evidence. Was he in denial? No. He knew it was there. He knew exactly what the situation was. He just refused to consider it. Abraham, you're really old. Well, I'm not going to consider that. Praise God. I'm father of many nations. Well, you sure don't look very good. You look kind of old. Well, I'm not considering that. Praise God. I refuse to talk about that. How old are you, Abraham? Doesn't matter. I'm not going to talk about that. God said this, I'm not considering the deadness of my own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. I'm not even going to think about that. Why? Because if I think about that, I'm going to be on that downward spiral of defeat. God must not be able to do what he said he was going to do. And see, when you're in defeat, you're not in faith. See, it's in the heart area that you get defeated. It's in your heart that you doubt. It's in your heart that you have that sense that there's no hope. But see, if you can believe you receive those things and then maintain that by how? Not considering the other things. What condition was Abraham's heart in? It says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He could not be strong in faith while considering his body. Any more than Peter could walk on the water while considering the winds and the waves. As long as he only considered what Jesus said, come, he could walk on the water. But when he started considering the wind and the waves, he began to sink. It's exactly that way. We have to believe we receive what we desire when we pray. We cannot leave out the believing we receive part. And I just explained, I'm closing right here. The believing we receive part is just like believing we received salvation, righteousness. Believing what God said and receiving it with our prayer of receiving. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that you've healed me and I receive that right now. I receive that because you've given it to me. It's a gift and I receive it. Now I'm full of faith because I'm healed. I thank you I'm healed. The next day, well, you're still hurting. Makes no difference. I'm not considering that. I'm considering only what I'm believing, that I'm healed. See, I've received it. If I don't let it go, I've got it. If I don't let it go. So I'm going to close here, but I'm going to read one more time the quote that I read from Corrie ten Boom that I started the message with earlier. Maybe it'll make a little more sense now. Faith sees the invisible. It believes the unbelievable. And it receives the impossible. Faith received when it's based on the Word of God, what God said, and when it doesn't waver, when we won't waver with it. Amen. Did y'all get anything out of that? Praise God.